Casey.
Hey, Jacob.
So, I got a question for you.
What's that?
What do a sea monster who learns to blend in with the citizens at a quaint Italian town, and a young warrior entrusted with protecting the sacred dragonstone of her mythic homeland, have in common?
I don't know.
Well, let's find out. Because this week, I watched Luca.
And this week, I watched Raya and the Last Dragon.
And now it's time to make the movie connection. And here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome in. I am Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where we assign each other movies every week, usually that we haven't seen before. And then we sit down, we watch them, and then we come back together and we discuss them and review them and try to find out if there's any way to connect these two vastly different movies.
Yeah.
Any connection at all. You know? And sometimes the connections are pretty loose, but sometimes they are pretty rock solid.
Totally.
There was the episode where we had two movies with Karen Gillan in them.
Hell yeah, that was an easy peasy.
Couldn't find an easier connection than that. And it's purely accidental, too, because we'd never know what we're going to assign each other or anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then this week, what a treat. We had some great movies for you guys. Hopefully you watched them. That's usually better for this podcast. But you know, we do have timestamps. So if you watched one and not the other, hey,
go ahead, we would
love for you to stick around, but, you know, feel free to jump ahead.
Right. Totally.
But yeah, I watched Luca, which I had planned on seeing, of course, but, fortunately, I guess, had been slow to the draw on.
And yeah, same here with Raya. I wanted to watch it as well, but I just didn't have time for it and just sort of couldn't find the time for it.
And then we were both like, hey, don't watch that movie.
Yeah, totally.
I got plans.
Yeah.
So in that respect, we knew those were coming. We just didn't know when, though.
So
the surprise element was still there. It's like, I don't know when this is happening. But yeah, this is great. I'm excited to talk about both of these, so we might as well just dive right in.
Let's do it.
These are great movies. There's definitely one or two connections you can pick up on right off the bat, just by looking at them.
Yes.
But yeah, these are both animated and by a certain huge conglomerate.
You might have heard of them.
Starts with a D. These are really great, but they are also very different. So that's what makes for a good episode.
Yeah, I agree.
So here we go. Let's start with Luca, shall we?
Yeah.
It is my turn to kick things off, and I don't mind it one bit because this is a great movie. Okay, so Luca, in my own words, here's a little synopsis for you guys. Okay, we were told things are better down where it's wetter. But for one particularly curious sea monster named Luca, the surface world of Italy is where he longs to be. Luca, voiced by Jacob Tremblay, is warned to avoid all things above the water. But when he encounters a young sea monster like himself, named Alberto, voiced by Jack Dylan Grazer, who I recognize from It. He was my favorite character in It. And then he was also, I think, one of the kids anyway, in what's it called? Shazam. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So
really?
He's a really good actor. He's one to watch, I think, at this point.
That is really cool.
And it was so interesting because I'd seen It and he is so much younger and his voice is very different. It's a thing, guys.
It happens.
Voices change.
You know, he's gonna be in the live action episode of Rick and Morty. He's gonna be Morty.
He's gonna be that's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, especially with that voice. That's great. I really like that actor.
He's really good.
So Alberto, he learns that there is so much to discover and so much to be enjoyed in the quaint coastal town of Porto Rosso, including a racing competition with a very determined and spunky girl named Julia, voiced by Emma Berman. But the challenge of keeping their true identities a secret becomes harder and harder as even the slightest drop of water threatens to reveal Luca and Alberto's true form.
Yeah.
As time goes on, the question of whether the world will ever accept a sea monster, even one as innocent as good old Luca... wait, what happened? As time goes on, the question of whether the world... the question arises whether the world will ever accept a sea monster, even one as innocent and as good as Luca. There we go.
Yeah.
That's the real question. Okay, sorry about that. turn into a sea monster for a second, but I'm good. I dried off. All right,
good,
here we go.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Great freaking movie. So this. So this one. This was interesting. This one flew under the radar for a lot of people, I think.
Disney didn't make a big deal out of it. They didn't charge people to watch it. It was immediately free.
Free, which, hey, I mean, we kind of benefited in that regard.
We for sure did.
But there's this weird, like, you know, I think this will continue to be a conversation. There's, like, a weird stigma about the shows that you pay for, you know, versus the ones you don't, like, you know, that, like, was Disney making a statement? Did they, you know, not care as much about this one? And why is that? So there was some cool conversations going on about that. You know,
yeah,
those
totally.
Those conspiracy theories are always fun.
I agree.
Because it does make you wonder. And it's like, it was the one with it's an Italian set movie and it had an Italian director, which is always great.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, this one, and I think, like, Soul were kind of, like, in the conversation and Raya actually.
Yeah.
Although
Raya did charge for that one,
yes,
right?
Yeah. They did. And then finally it became free and oh man. And then my life was changed. Anyway, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So Luca, this was and I think part of me and you know, part of it did affect my desire to see it a little bit, I will say, because it's one of the free. Is it not as good quality? Well, maybe I'll get around.
Because you sort of equivalate it with like, okay, is this something that I could watch like on Disney Channel that they put straight to Disney Channel?
Uh-huh.
You know, like in your brain, so you're just like, well, I could watch that anytime. It's not that big of a deal. Versus like Raya, you know, that one was supposed to go into the theaters.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
And so you're thinking.
And God, that would have been a good one to see in theaters.
It would have been. Both of them would have been, though.
True.
Luca, like, is so.
I love the atmosphere. Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It's like, mostly the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what people get out of it is it's just like, I want to, like, all of us want to go there, don't
yeah,
we? Like, we all
want
to go to Porto Rosso.
Yeah.
And if Disney knew any better, they better get on making Porto Rosso somewhere. One of your parks, one of your lands, something.
Stop. Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, probably Disney World, really. It would be
they
like.
They have room for it in Disney World. In the pavilion.
There you go.
Yeah, yep. The Epcot pavilion where it has like all the different countries.
Perfect. Yeah.
They should do that. It would be nice if they did that.
Yeah.
Because that's such like a beautiful scenery. Like it really reminded me of being in Italy. Like they did such a good job.
Oh yeah, right.
They did such a good job.
And they did. They featured all the weather types too. Because Italy, you know, they got the rain and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Might be really nice. Might be really cold. Might be pouring buckets and buckets of rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Days after we left Venice, like, it didn't
rain.
They
get snow in Italy.
They do.
Yeah.
It didn't rain the whole time we were there, and then 2 days after we left, we met someone there, and he, like, sent us texts because it flash flooded, and he was walking through knee-deep water.
Damn.
And, like, it had not rained at all while we were there, and that was 2 days past.
Wow.
So it is,
crazy.
Like, so dramatic.
Yeah. Very Italian.
Also, Venice is sinking, guys, so go see it while you can. Yeah.
Venice is sinking. Yeah, got it.
that's
her recommendation.
go to Venice. good luck.
No, go to Porto Rosso. Like God,
do
man.
Both,
but,
man.
But yeah, right. Like I mean that, and see, I think part of it was like thinking, oh, this is a real town that they based it off of. It's like, nope, completely fictional. It's like, damn it. Like you know, part of you like curses it because it's like, no, you did.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. Yeah.
I think a lot of the Italian coastlines, you know, cities are like that.
Yeah, right.
Like
right.
A lot of them.
Totally. So you can get you'll get your Luca fix if you head to the coastal towns in Italy.
Yes, totally.
Awesome. Cool. So you got some Q&A for me?
I do.
I think we covered. So yeah, it was, yeah, it flew under the radar. There was kind of a stigma, but then I started, and then there was like an outpour of like awesome reviews, I noticed.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. I agree. Yeah. I heard, I watched it because our cousin was in town and said, why don't we watch this? I heard it's really good. And so we watched it and it was really good. Very sweet.
Heck yeah.
Very sweet movie.
Very heartwarming. Awesome.
Ready for some Q&A?
Yeah, Q&A.
So, there's some mixed opinions on this, but do you think that Luca is a queer film?
Mm.
Let's get right into it.
Yes, wonderful. Good, I'm glad. No, so here's the thing. Full disclosure, like, not part of the community in any way, but both of us, like, consider ourselves allies and
absolutely
all that.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've
supporters.
Got friends, friends that are of, like, bisexual, gay, all of that.
Same.
Now I can't speak, like, for, you know, too directly, but I will say, like, I did notice that this has been embraced by the gay community in that way. Mm-hmm. And like, who am I to even question it? Like, if that's the case, then there's something to that. I do think, like, so it's never blatantly stated. So there is that.
Right.
So I think technically, no. But I think the best we can get nowadays, at least from Disney and everything, is like things that you have to read in, like, give that reading to. And that's okay. Like, that movies, that's what movies are for. Like,
yeah,
everybody's allowed to.
Like, and something kind of special about it is, like, some people will look at it and be like, no, it's a story about friendship.
Yeah.
And then some people will look at it and they'll say, no, it's like a love story.
That, and that's great,
you know, it's
because
nice that there's
it's
room
still
there.
Representation. And like, what's great is that we're getting more movie, like, because that community, that part of our society is like able to be more vocal and everything, like, they can make those connections and like we can really consider it now. And like, yeah, that reading is totally valid. Now for me, not being gay, like, I see it as a great portrayal of a positive male relationship,
yes,
which is also very much not a thing in Hollywood. So either way, you win.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, there's like a little something for everyone.
Yeah.
It's nice when multiple people from multiple different areas can all relate to something in the film.
Yeah.
And it's nice when they leave things open in that way. Mm. You know, they did ask the director about it, and he said that, you know, it wasn't their intention.
Yeah, sure.
However, like, you know, it's great for anybody to find some form of representation there if they want to.
Yeah, and I think that's the best answer, because, you know, sometimes they aren't thinking of that. But it's like, I'd feel the same way. It's like, you know, I wasn't thinking of it that way, but hell yeah. Like, yeah.
That's cool. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Great. That's the great takeaway for me, though, is like, yeah, positive male relationships. And then it got you think, it's like, we don't get those. Like,
no,
we just don't.
We don't.
And it's kind of bullshit. And like, it's good to,
especially Disney really doesn't do, like, they do a lot of positive female relationships in their cartoons, but I don't really see a lot of male ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Toy Story, but they had some toxic shit to work through.
Oh, man. Buzz and Woody. What a team.
What a team.
Buzz cracks me up.
So funny.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
but
that's
good. You know, right? Like, and then
a lot of people said that they thought it was a queer movie because it really reminded them, too, of Call Me By Your Name, which also takes place on the Italian
Italy.
Coast.
That's fun.
And so, you know, it could just be that people are seeing it after seeing that and like making that connection
and
too.
That helps too. Like, see, again, like, you know, the director probably wasn't even making the connection to that movie either, but it makes sense. It's like, oh shit, you know, it does take place in Italy. Yeah, I see it. Yeah. It's interesting.
It's kind of fun. How did you feel about the portrayed masculinity in this movie? How do you like Massimo?
Is Massimo? Wait, which one's Massimo?
He's the dad.
The dad.
Of Julia,
oh, he's good. Julia. He came around. Like, he could have been. Yeah, he could have been way worse. Yeah, could have been way more toxic. But I like how. Yeah. Accepting he was by the end.
Me
like
too.
You know, there was the initial. Initial fear and all that stuff, but then I think what sold him was how his daughter acted towards him, right?
Totally.
So that's what mattered. And like, good, like, usually we have to do a lot of work to get to that point. A lot of the daughter being like, wait, no, they're my friends. Like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
So, you don't
friends. Oh, wait. You mean, they're your friends. Friends.
Yeah.
So really good. And he looks so familiar. Like, you know, like I'm noticing that with like animated characters in both this and in Raya, honestly.
Yeah,
and we'll
totally.
Get to that. But I feel like I've seen him in another movie and it might be La Luna. Like I might have seen him in like a trailer or something from that.
Sure,
or something.
Sure. That would make sense.
Or, you know, he might be from a Miyazaki. That's probably it. Because as I came to find out, like, that was a big inspiration for this director was Miyazaki film. You
didn't
know that?
Know.
Oh, yeah.
But it
and then
really
you see it now,
sense.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
because,
Kiki's
like,
Delivery Service in particular.
And even the underwater stuff with the,
Ponyo. He said, Ponyo. Or I don't know if he said, but they said it's a lot more like Ponyo than it is Little Mermaid because people make that connection. Like, easy connection to make. Like, it's,
absolutely. Yeah.
But no, more Ponyo is,
Ponyo.
Yeah, closer.
I love it.
Ponyo's a good one.
Ponyo is a good one.
But no, the masculine. So again, like, yeah, kind of what I was saying, though, is it was a positive male friendship, even like, and we've all had a friend like Alberto, at least I have, like,
yes,
I knew, the
too.
Braggart, you know, the, it's like, no, man, like, you know, I was the Luca, where it's just like, I chose to believe, like, you know,
yeah.
I'm an innocent one. So I'm just like, oh, no, oh, this guy's the coolest. He knows his shit.
Yeah.
Come to find out, he doesn't know nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But doesn't lack in charm.
Going from that, how'd you feel about Alberto? What do you think happened, like, with his dad?
Like, I could have hated him, like, that, like, but, because he was so braggy from the get-go and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, sure, but no, he came around nicely, and he genuinely liked Luca, like, that makes a difference. It's
yeah.
not like, and I'll take you under my wing just because I feel obligated to.
And I think, too, that, like, you know, his outburst and, like, betraying Luca was because he felt betrayed, you know?
Yeah, no, that was a big betrayal. Yeah, that
because
got
his dad, like, you know, abandoned him. So he has this trauma around him. And he was scared that Luca, his only friend that he had, was going to leave him as well, you know?
Right. And that's tough. Yeah,
it's
and especially,
so
like, yeah, going to school and stuff like that, especially when you may not want to, like, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't have the burning. He had the curiosity. He didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to conform to no school program, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one thing I really liked about the ending where he's going to stay with Massimo and, you know, he's going to, like,
bond.
Have, yeah.
He's going to have a positive,
like,
male
a
role model in
older,
his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because apparently dad was a deadbeat. Like, you're old enough to be on your own? What? How old is he?
Yeah, they're like,
how old do you think
13?
They are? 11? Yeah,
oh,
if
12?
That. Yeah, 11,
yeah,
12,
like, they have
13
to be,
close.
Like, I would say, like, right, you know, somewhere around right before being a teenager.
Yeah, yeah. I
like,
agree. Agreed.
It's so bizarre.
But anyway, but still, but yeah, no, Alberto was good. It helps that, yeah, good voice actor, I think, because, yeah, I could have hated him because he was mostly a braggart, but then he comes around.
He does, yeah. Do you like that the way they address negative thoughts with Bruno? That's cute, right?
Silencio Bruno, yeah. I mean,
Silencio,
it's, you gotta have, you gotta have something quotable, you know? And Silencio Bruno is gonna be it for a bit, and that's fine. I don't know,
Yeah.
It does. It just feels like it's like, okay, this is we're doing a bit here. But no, like, the heart of the matter is, like, true. And, like,
right.
I went, this is perfect. Like, I went through all of this with my, inner child work and stuff like that. You're going to, like, yeah, you got to quiet that negative voice, change that inner dialogue, because otherwise you'll never take risks. You'll never. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And you got to take some risks. It's good to, yes, that voice is trying to protect you, but also you can make some decisions yourself.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
so
my last,
fuck Bruno.
My last question before
some
our
people
favorites.
Think that Bruno is his dad.
Oh,
I didn't get that because I think he, like, we would have read something a little
that's
more
sad.
From Alberto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that Alberto is a good influence on Luca? Like, it's kind of hard to tell, right? Because he gains a lot from their friendship.
True, because he does learn to take risks and stuff like that. He's one of those friendships that are necessary, but, oh, man, that is tough. Because, It sucks. They just met, but through the arc of the movie, it's like we went for the, like, oh, I've already outgrown you, like, thing. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, we just met. I would love to see a sequel, actually, because he, like, he's going to come back, right? Because, yeah, she comes back in the summer or something right. like that. Right. So he's going to come back there.
Yeah, and they could even, you know, try to do the contest thing, you know, again.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
And we could see how that grows and changes. I yeah. like that.
But yeah, I don't know.
It's hard.
He
it's
is kind of, and he isn't.
Right. It's kind of good that he has, is her name Julie or Julia?
Julia.
Julia. It's kind of good that he has Julia as well.
Right.
Because if it was just him and Alberto, like, he would have gotten the Vespa and they would have just left. And, like, you know, he would have had regrets, like, missed his parents.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
right.
like.
For sure.
So he's got Julia there as well, who's, like, showing him academic things mm-hmm. and, like, showing him her positive relationship with her dad. And,
yeah,
you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
True dad.
So it's good he has both, because
True
I think
that.
Alberto is a good
Because Alberto's
friend to
got
have,
some work to do.
But he has some trauma to get through.
Yeah, right.
Poor kid.
Fortunately, it's still fresh, so they can get it.
Yeah, yeah. favorite performance
get at it.
Or
oh,
character?
We're on maybe? A favorite question.
It's happening.
Favorites? There it is.
There it is.
All right. So, yeah. Favorite. So, yeah. For animated stuff, I feel it's appropriate to do favorite character and then favorite voice performance. I think that's fair, because yeah, we did that with Spider-Man as well. So favorite character was Julia. Yeah. And I spelt it wrong, though, because they spell it the Italian way.
Yes.
In a very weird way. Those freaking Italians, I tell you.
Freaking Italians.
I loved the Pinocchio reference. Like, it's like, oh, what else is Italian? Pinocchio. Yeah, sure. we also own that. Okay. Favorite character was Juliet, but my favorite voice performance was Jack Dylan Grazer, like Alberto.
Yeah, he has.
I really
a,
like that kid.
I really
yeah.
do too.
So good I'm voice. Looking forward to whatever he does next. Luca was good too, of course.
Yeah,
but
of
no,
course.
You know, like Alberto's voice was just yeah.
It's so good.
It's cool.
It's so good. Favorite scene.
Favorite scene is the final race. Yeah, and especially like yeah, once Alberto shows up with the umbrella, it's like, oh my god. It so much.
Yes, it's so freaking
that was
cute.
Heartwarming. Yeah, there was a couple teary moments. That was one of them for sure. And god, I hated this villain, man. Like ugh. Like it's that mustache ugh. They were smart with that. It's like, yeah, there ain't no way you're gonna like this
we
guy.
We want you to hate this motherfucker as much as possible.
And it was just weird because that whole thing of him, like, it's like
he's
I'm
like
old
an,
enough
yeah he's
it's
an like, adult what? Doing a
Ew.
Child's
yeah.
competition. It's so weird.
Yeah, what a
He's super
weirdo.
Unlikable.
Yeah, very unlikable.
Super unlikable.
Yeah, that facial hair, all of it. And then, yeah, they actually punched Alberto. I couldn't believe that. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
what
no.
a fucker.
Yeah. How rude.
favorite quote.
Favorite quote comes from Grandma.
Oh, I love that.
Some people will never accept him, but some will. And he seems to know how to find the good ones.
Oh, that's so good.
That's all it's about, people.
Wise grandma.
Yeah, that's all it's about. Fuck them. Like, yeah, you're not gonna... And I hate to break it to you, folks. We ain't gonna probably see it in our lifetime, a world where everybody is accepted. So, yeah just find the good ones.
And
then
fuck
them.
Yeah. rates, rewatch, recommend...
And then, yes, of course, I would rewatch it and I would recommend it to anybody and everybody. And as far as rating goes, I give this one a solid 4 out of 5.
Nice.
I did enjoy it. Like, I loved I get the Miyazaki vibes now because of the quaintness of the town and how it was so much more focused. Like, they even had to put it in a time period where we weren't going to see no cell phones and stuff.
Yeah, love that.
Because Miyazaki's all about, like, yeah, the city versus the country culture, and Miyazaki has an opinion about that.
Yeah.
I really liked that. I liked the look of it. And apparently they were going for kind of a more cartoony look, and I guess I kind of get that.
Yeah.
With the bigness of the eyes and so on and so forth.
Yeah, totally. It definitely feels cartoony.
Hmm.
They did a really good job making the landscape and the things look realistic, though.
Yeah, it's all about the vibe of the town. I just
totally.
Want to go right into that town. Yeah. Yeah. They're coming to take us away.
Awesome.
But yeah, really good movie. Highly recommend.
For sure, me too.
Yeah, the one weird moment was when the fish like were flying around his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because yeah, that was one of the moments where it's like, wait, we haven't indicated that we're there. Like, yeah.
Right.
It's very
not I love realistic. Grandma too, like the fact that she we like sort of figure out, oh, she goes up to the surface all the time to all go play time. With her friends.
Yes. It's play awesome.
Cards with her friends. So cute.
I like that she had his back.
So fun. Love that.
So good. Oh, that's what I wanted to put. No, that's my favorite scene. I loved the mom terrorizing the kids.
Oh, my God. When she that kicks scene her asses is with so the ball. Fucking yeah, funny.
God.
Oh, my God.
It's like, oh, whoops, whoops. Oops, sorry. Damn. Yeah,
that was so funny.
Love that. And that's Luca.
Luca.
All right. And now it is time for Raya and the Last Dragon.
500 years ago,
whoa,
dragons lived in harmony with humans until a monster called Droon started turning people to stone statues. The dragons put their powers together and sacrificed themselves to save humanity. Raya, a warrior princess, must journey through the kingdoms to get the pieces of the dragon stone, and along the way, she finds Sisu, the last dragon.
Sisudatsu.
They meet friends along the way and try to avoid Rhea's enemy, Namari.
That Venturi.
Will Rhea and Sisu be able to save all of humanity? Dun dun dun
dun dun. So yeah, fun. Good shit. Yeah, this is straight up your alley. I think.
It is.
Rhea and the Last Dragon. So. Yeah. Like, I hadn't even seen a trailer for it, I don't think. Like, I had seen imagery from it, I suppose.
Yeah, I didn't see a trailer. I didn't see a trailer. Either.
Yeah.
Yeah, Disney did a shitty job promoting it.
Yeah. As they are once to do with their female-led stuff.
Yeah.
Which is so weird, because it is Disney, the company that got started with princesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people compare this to like Moana and
Moana
and Mulan
and Mulan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a fair blending. Yep. Yep. I would agree. A lot of fans of Last Airbender.
Oh, totally.
Can associate with it. I get that with the divided lands and
totally,
so forth.
Totally.
And there is a magical element here to be had. And
yes, there are. There
all
is.
Of that. Now, did you watch The Last Airbender? I never got into that.
I did.
Oh,
I
cool.
did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot, but not as much as some of my friends did.
Right, right.
Like, I had some...
All of it, or just, like...
I feel like I watched all of it. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, I think I did. Hmm. It's been so long.
Right.
But I haven't watched any of the stuff that's followed.
Right.
Like, there was the live action.
Because now it's an all new thing. Oh, yeah, there was... don't worry
I
about
think
that.
I did watch that, and I think I regretted it.
Yeah. M. Night Shyamalan. So.
Yeah. And yikes. Then there was, like... Or there is a new series.
And it's got mixed reviews. It sounds great. Like, I think most of my friends who are fans of the show really like it. Yeah, they seem to dig it. Because, it's like a... sequel series. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I did kind of get those vibes here.
Yeah, totally. I feel that as well.
Because there's definitely an Eastern influence going on here, I'd
yeah,
say.
I agree.
But what a trip. Like, again, like another world that I wouldn't mind visiting.
This was pretty freaking cool.
This one's pretty far in the past, though, I would say. And probably... doesn't exist, but yeah.
I mean, there could be like a place somewhere where dragons went rampant.
Never know.
You never know.
Never know. I really like this. Was like this won me over instantly. I was like,
yeah,
oh, this is my shit. Like, I mean, they lay the groundwork perfectly. Like the world building is really good.
Yeah,
like,
they
really give it to you well.
Good job with that for sure. And like, you know. Her dad, they showed him as like this fair person, and you sort of like, you know, got to see him trying to create peace between, you know, all the different what would you call those
realms or lands
lands yeah
lands yeah
Yeah, and trying to, like, you know, get everyone to come together. So that good. Influenced Rhea. I loved Rhea.
The symbolism of the dish, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Good shit. Right, trying to bring them together. And see, again, like, we have a positive father-daughter relationship. Again, not a lot of those.
Hard to find in a Disney film.
Yeah. And, yeah, well, right, in a Disney film of all things, too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had been on quite the kill-all-dads kick for a while.
Right, and then we had, you know, Ariel and her dad, which wasn't the best.
Messed up,
Can't
man.
Can't say I blame him, though.
Yeah, now.
Right, as a
16 years old. I'm not a child.
Yes, you fucking are.
God damn it.
But,
seashells be damned. Yeah. All right. Are we ready for some Q&A?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm ready. God, they should have run into SpongeBob. In Luca. Okay. So, I mean, obvious question I have to ask. You know, which of these five lands would you most like to visit?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, we... Okay, so we got Heart.
Right. And that's where Rey is from.
That's where Rey is from. We got Tail, which is the con baby in their gang, so that's okay. Right on the water.
I did
so
like that's that kind place of like I like the market aspect of it,
basically Venice in some ways.
I liked that place a lot.
The market was cool. And then you got Talon, so that's the Snowland.
Right,
not I'm so good. Appealing that's I'm you good. Know
mm-hmm.
and then
Fang,
yeah, and that's a pretty cool one.
It is cool. It looks beautiful.
Because you get the best of both worlds. You got the canal and all that stuff.
Right.
And you got the badass cats. We are cat people in this family.
We are cat people in this family, and the cats, I would like to ride a cat. I'd like to ride a cat more than I'd like to ride a roly-poly-oly bug.
Really?
But I thought it was true. Also cute.
It was cute.
It was cute.
It was creative as hell. Like, that was the thing. Super it's like, that's creative. A real creative idea.
Really? Talking about Hayao Miyazaki really seems like a creature he would come up with.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And then, so we're missing one.
Talon. I know.
And then you've got Spine. So Spine is the cold one then. God damn it. Because then you have the... Because then you have the river people. Because they also get a friend from each of the lands. So one guy's from the snow, one guy's... You got Rhea. Nobody from Fang. Like, she sucks. And then you got the kid from the Riverlands.
Yeah, Talon is the floating market. That's the one I would want to go to.
So Talon. Cool.
Yeah. Although I really did like the little boy.
He was great.
And he's from Tail.
Yeah, that's it. Tail. Yep. Yeah, there it is.
He's
there
great.
Is. Yeah, loved that kid.
Loved that kid so much. He was awesome.
And he looks like he makes a mean, whatever that was, mean dish.
Yeah, it looked yummy.
Good food.
And I love it when food looks good in cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of shrimp. You just throw a shrimp at me? So that's the one you would most like to go to. Good choice. Yeah. Heart looked great, too. Yeah, good choice.
Yeah, it did. It looked really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ancient.
Ancient. What are some influences, cultural or otherwise, that you noticed in this world?
Yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, like Disney, it definitely feels like they pulled a little bit from Mulan and Moana.
Right.
So
we got a little bit of, yeah, definitely, again, like, yeah, we did mention like the Eastern influence, Japan as well as China, like, you know, I hate to be that way, but it's a little bit of both
sides, like, for sure. And almost like a Philippines.
Oh yeah.
As well. Like mm-hmm. I can see some of the Philippines in there as well.
Because what was cool is that the townsfolk themselves were a little ambiguous too, where it wasn't straight up
And even with the hats in one of the lands and the one I liked, it was like the Vietnamese hats.
Mm-hmm.
So it is like they pulled from a lot of different Asian cultures, which is really cool.
And even India with like the mentality at points and stuff like that. Like, I love how they left it ambiguous. Like, that's the way to go. Like, I know a lot of people wanted like a hard line, like, wait, where are we? But no, I like it better when they're ambiguous and it's like,
I think that there's room for both, you know? Like in Mulan, like we know that she's trying to save China.
Yes,
yeah. Right. And that is what
Imperial
she's going for.
China,
yes.
Too. Yeah.
You know, it's nice that in this, there's not one or the other for us to, like, you know, make the assumption on. Instead, it's like a very large group of people can, like, really relate to these characters and where they live and things like that. So.
Yeah. I love it a lot. And the magic exists in this world, too.
Oh, so, love that.
Yeah.
Magic and exists in my world.
And again, like, they do a good job. They just really, they deliver all the exposition so well. It never feels too wordy, or I never feel like it drags.
Mm-hmm.
It was really well done. And we mentioned Miyazaki. There was definitely that influence.
Yeah.
The movie is effective at showing the struggle of trusting others in a broken or damaged community.
Yeah.
Talk about your personal feelings on the subject and how effective this movie is in addressing the issue.
Sure. You know, politics is like a very dividing thing. I'm not going to go too much into that. But, you know, the last, like, probably 5 years, I've, you know, learned a lot about the people that I know.
Yeah.
And how they feel about politics and also certain things in life. And, you know, unfortunately, some things I feel like I can't talk to people about because they'll make it about politics.
Right.
And I'm scared that, you know, such as like women's health, free medical, like those are things that in my mind,
like,
shouldn't be
no
political.
Brainer.
Yeah. They shouldn't really be, you know, a political thing. It should just be something that is. But mentioning that or trying to bring something like that up to someone that I know is like a Trumper or super right winged, you know, can lead into an argument. And it makes me distrustful on that for sure.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I think, I mean, it's a really timely movie for that reason.
I think a lot of people
turn on this movie because they feel it's too preachy. It's like, I don't know, man. I think, you know, I don't think it beats you over the head with it, actually. Like, you know, I think.
No, I think they did a good job.
I think
job.
It's just perfect timing. It's just like, oh, what are they trying to say? It's like, well, if you're reacting that way, maybe, you know, again, like, you can always flip it on people.
Yes, that's true.
I'm like, why are you reacting so viscerally to this? Like, because I think, we can all relate to, like, it's perfect. Like, a divided land. Like, hello.
Yes.
Like, we're living in. Yeah.
We're living that.
It was smart of them to make it very fictional, though, because I think, like, at least, unfortunately, like, as depressing as it might be, it's like, the piece that they successfully get is maybe only achievable in a fictional world, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't still strive for it, because the second you stop striving for it, that's when you lose.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's like fine, like, we will never reach certain planets, but it doesn't stop us from fucking sending millionaires into shuttles, does it?
That's right.
I found the symbolism is just too perfect. And, like, granted, maybe they went a little too simplistic with it, where it's just like, somebody's got to take the first step. It's like, but it really is that simple, folks. Like,
it is,
somebody
yeah.
does. It's like, but nobody wants to. It's like, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't change the fact that somebody's going to have to take the first step then.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it so relatable in that way.
I agree.
Because we are divided and, like, we do need to give trust a little bit of a chance, I think, in some regards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, trust mended Raya's world. Do you think it can do the same for us?
Yeah, I think so. I think trust goes a long way. But I think we're really, right now, we're so divided that trust wouldn't fix everything.
Right.
But I think that, you know, we could strive, like what you said before, we could strive to work towards that. And it depends on what part of it is broken. Because I think that, you know, in the real world, like, you know, we have such divisive issues, abortion, you know, gay rights, you know, women and
body. Women's rights. Yeah. Autonomy.
Yeah. So I don't know. Right now, unfortunately, just trusting each other doesn't solve any of those huge divisive issues.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So it just depends on what the problem is.
Yeah, right.
I think.
Because I think, like, people trusting people isn't really a problem. Like I think we don't have a problem with that, where it's like, no, I have friends, I have family, I know how to trust. Like,
and I think it depends, too, on, like, what is your goal?
Our circles have gotten smaller is the thing.
Right. What's the goal here? Because if we both have the same goal, you know, we can make an alliance and we can trust each other to get it done. Mm. However, if we have opposing goals, I'm not going to trust my enemy, you know, not to stab me in the back. Like,
yeah, right, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Yeah, good. I came in with the big questions.
You did. I had to think about that one.
And then, so now to end with something a little easier. Did you find the con baby cute or annoying?
Yeah, this is a super divisive issue.
Is it? Like, yeah, I thought so. Because I kind of went on the journey almost.
Yeah. But yeah. I found it annoying at first.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought it was cute.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, that was kind of the journey. I was just like, oh, I didn't expect it to become part of the team was the thing, I think.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, that was a nice bit, I guess. Like, I'm glad it's over, though. It's like, wait, oh, shit. Wait,
it's
what?
It's not over.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck.
I think what makes her way cuter is, like, the guy that, like, sort of, like, takes over and becomes her friend.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's cute. You know, their relationship is cute.
Yes.
Yeah, love that.
Yep, but no, I was worried. I was like, oh, no, am I going to find this annoying? What kind of person does that make me?
No, I also found it annoying at first, for sure. I was like, oh, I've seen enough, like, baby spy cartoons. And that's what it felt like it was a baby spy. You know?
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. But then by the end, yeah, they did it really well.
They did a good job, yeah.
Like, I liked the bit where she's, like, they're, like,
and you sort
intensely
of
going
do
through
feel
the place.
Bad for her, too, because you're like, fuck, oh, yeah. Her whole family is, like, gone. And
those weird animals, damn it, they have a name. I'll look it up later. But,
oh,
yeah,
the
those,
little things
yeah,
that...
Yeah, the little monkey. Yeah. They're of the monkey family, I think. Those were cute.
Were they lemurs?
See, I don't think they were that, but they have, a name.
Yeah.
And so that was all good. Yeah, by the time they're, like, intensely going through the mission, and she, like, stops them and intensely, like, points to something, and they're like, oh, yeah, give me some of that. And she snacks on something. Like,
yeah.
I thought that was cute.
It was really cute.
Some good bits.
Good bits.
For sure. All right, so now comes the time for our favorite questions.
Yeah.
Favorites. So, starting with, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene, I had to think about it a lot because the fight scene was so fucking good between Rhea and Namari.
Namari.
And they did, like, an amazing job of animating that. Like,
the
it was
action
a
was
really
on point.
Good fight scene. Mm. But the scene that, like, made me tear up was when she finally got reunited with her dad.
Yeah.
It was so lovely.
They had some great dad shit going on here. Like, that's a good dad. Like,
that's a good dad.
And her journey, like, I really felt for Rhea a lot.
Me too.
Where it's just like, I mean, rebuilding the land is all well and good, but no, basically, no, I want my dad back. I relate to that. It's like, yeah, cool, fine.
She was a little kid when he died,
a
preteen or something. Like,
and then I love, like, the visceral reaction. Like, I get a visceral reaction when she's like, do you think he'll recognize me? I'm like, motherfucker, yes, he'll recognize you.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, fuck that motherfucker. No. Go back to being a stone guy. And I actually did want to ask, we didn't talk about her enough. What did you think of Numari and that whole relationship?
Well, I think I saw it for what it was, a girl being manipulated by her mom into sort of like Draco Malfoy.
A little bit, yeah.
She's like being raised to believe one thing.
I didn't
think
that I was going to be able to, like, come around with her, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, they were going to be able to make her sympathetic, but they did.
They did a really good job, because by the end of it, I was, like, rooting for her so much. Her character arc was so beautifully done.
Yeah, it was.
They did such a good job, because I did. I felt like, oh, this girl's been lied to her whole life about what is good and what is bad.
Mm.
And then she gets out there. She sees a real-life fucking dragon.
Yeah, right.
And she just kind of loses it a little bit, you know? And then she's like, starts questioning her whole life. Now, we don't get to see all of that, but I know that's what's happening.
Right, and we
get to see glimpses of it,
you
know? And
again,
then
really
end,
done really well. Like, that whole bit
really,
where she,
really
like, slows them all down when they get to the dragons. Like, no, hold up. Like, this is, like, sacred land.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
Yeah, they did have that one thing in common, too. You keep kicking it. They had that one thing in common, too, is they both, like, absolutely loved
Dragon nerds.
And dragon nerds, yeah. They were dragon nerds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really loved it in the beginning. Like, they did, oh, man, the twist was good how they did it. She was like, no fucking way, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, that was a bummer. That was,
yeah, I was a bag of emotions, this movie. This was,
yeah.
It got me. I was like, the whole time, I'm just like, every 10 minutes, I'm like, this is so good.
It is really good. Did you like the voice of Sisu, Awkwafina?
Yeah, I liked her. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I did not.
No?
No. I
you
was
hate
fine.
Awkwafina?
No. The thing is I actually have seen her in things I liked her in, like Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, right.
She was great in that. She's the comedic relief that was desperately needed.
She is funny, yeah.
She's
like
really
her.
Funny, yeah. But I just was like, oh.
It does seem a little off.
It just
too modern?
Yeah, I don't know if it was too modern, too... Her voice is so scratchy, you know? And so, like, seeing her in real life with her voice, I can, like, just deal with it. But on the cartoon, I was like, it didn't match the dragon to me.
Okay.
You know, right. When you see someone in real life and you've heard them on a podcast.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, who is that? That's not the person I've imagined in my head this whole time. Because you
right.
sort of do imagine.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, you look at this dragon, this beautiful, mystical dragon, and then her voice comes out, which, sorry, I'm not trying to be mean to her voice. No. And I just sort of expected something different.
Who would you have cast?
Sure. I personally would have cast, like, either Sandra Oh, who was already in this movie.
Sandra
Oh,
yeah,
the mom.
Solid. Yeah.
She's, like, got such a, like, her voice is smooth like butter. I love that.
Sandra Oh, and that's the mom from Invincible, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
she would have been solid.
She's also in this movie. Yep. She was the mom in... The mom of Namari.
Oh.
She was the evil lady.
Okay. And that works too, though.
It did work. Otherwise, like, maybe I would have cast the woman who voiced Mulan. Like, I just like that, like, smoother. I don't know.
Oh, that would have been an interesting connection, too, because we would have been like, oh,
cool. That's
Mulan. Yeah.
But, you know, again, no offense to Awkwafina, because I actually like her. I think she's hilarious.
Yeah. Sure.
But I would have picked different.
Sure.
Yeah. For that voice.
Roger Dodger.
Roger Dodger.
Very nice. So favorite performance. Or no, so yeah, this is animated, so let's do the same for you. Favorite character.
And then favorite voice
performance.
Well, I think I'm going to go...
And it could be both, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to say I think Namari's my favorite character because she just has such huge development.
Uh-huh.
All the way up to the last part, too,
yeah.
You know? Like, we watch her almost leave everybody and then turn her back and, you know, make it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's great, though. You know, I find her character to be really interesting. And that's something that's kind of hard to do on an animated
character. Complex, villainous character.
Yeah.
All for it.
Yeah. And then my favorite voice actor was probably Sandra Oh, just because I love her so much. I love her. But Raya's voice actress is really good as well. Kelly Marie Tran. She's really good too.
Wait, is that who I think it is? No, it's not. Okay. I thought it was the girl from, Zack and Cody.
Oh, yeah,
she should have been in here somewhere.
She would have been a good dragon.
Yeah. Oh,
she would have been good.
He could have been good. Yeah, that would have been nice.
She has like a little bit more of a kiddie voice that you want.
Yeah, it would have worked.
Yeah, that
good call.
Missed opportunity.
Damn.
What? Brenda Song.
Brenda Song.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, that actually would have been good.
That would have been so
I think,
good.
Yeah, Awkwafina, bigger name. Yeah.
Bigger name, for sure. And very, very popular right now.
Big time.
You know.
Because she's also in the new, I need to see it eventually, Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
I haven't seen it either, but yes.
And then favorite, so that's favorite performances, favorite quote.
Yeah, my favorite quote, it's an exchange. Raya says, "The world is broken, you can't trust anyone." And Sisu says, "Maybe it's broken because you don't trust anyone.
Yeah.
You just have to take the first step."
Yeah.
Love that.
Such good stuff. Like, yeah, man. It just so works. Like, come on.
Yeah, oh, it's so good.
Would you rewatch or recommend?
Yes and yes.
How many stars?
Five.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, give me a break.
It's
like,
happening.
I knew, like, yeah, I was like halfway through the movie. Like, yeah, and especially with the messaging, all of
so
it
nice.
Coming together, I was like, I don't even, like, you could fuck it up, but I don't think you can at this point. It's nope. 5 stars.
No, nope, it's great. Yeah, I love it.
This is one of my favorite, and this is from the Disney wing. Like, to me, yeah, like, this was the signal that it's like, you know what? I think Disney animation is surpassing Pixar at this point in terms of, like, messages and storytelling, really.
Yeah.
You know, and good for them, because, you know, Pixar was the king for a while, and they still put out some good stuff, like Luca.
Yeah.
But I...
And Inside Out, that was Pixar, right?
Fuck yeah. Like, and, no, oh, there are definitely the big ones. But I just feel like they're... Is that Disney? No, or that's Pixar? Disney.
Okay,
yeah,
see? That's why, so, and I would pin those two against each other as, like, yeah, fucking good. Yeah, yeah. So you're right.
And then Pixar had Soul. And while Soul was good, I did like Soul. It just didn't connect with me like a lot of other Pixar stuff. So that's why I was like,
it missed the mark a little bit. Yeah. Because I felt the same way.
It was still fun. Like, I enjoyed, and, like, I still thought it was good. I loved all the spiritualism, like, very new agey. So,
and
of course,
I was like,
I loved
it's kind of good that there's a movie about what happens after you die.
Yeah.
You know, that's, like, important for kids. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. There was something missing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, I think either Disney or Pixar, or no, I think Disney's next one is called Turning Red. And I don't know how to feel about it, but I'm trusting because I liked what they were doing. And I forget there was going to be that giant movie, which I don't think it's ever going to happen now. And that really sucks, because I kind of liked that concept. I liked that idea.
Me too.
It was going to be like a baby, but a giant, you know, and then Jack, I'm guessing.
Right.
But yeah. So yeah, 5 stars. Perfect. Yeah. Let's see. High scoring ones here.
Yeah.
And then we kind of talked about connections all the way through these, but connections that you could find, like, with your individual movie?
I think the two that I already said.
Yeah.
Three, because Miyazaki, definitely you feel it in both movies, but also, Moana and Mulan, both, for sure.
For sure. Luca, we mentioned all of the ones worth mentioning, because I think the Miyazaki thing was the biggest one, and then we mentioned,
Ponyo, we mentioned Little Mermaid. Yeah.
And call me by your name. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. So now comes a time where we try to find the connections between these two movies.
Yeah.
So, Casey, were you able to find any connections between Luca and Raya and the Last Dragon?
Yeah, buddy.
What you got?
So both movies have characters dealing with some past trauma and trust issues.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Alberto has abandonment issues, and, you know, his dad disappeared when he was young. Raya also had her dad disappear when she was young, just not in the same way, obviously.
Right.
But both of them
One's a little more temporary than the other.
Right. They both have some trauma and, you know, abandonment problems because of that. Both movies have mythical creatures.
Yep.
Both are about trust and friendship. Mm-hmm. And then both movies have groups of people / creatures that don't trust each other, and they need to overcome that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done. Fuck yeah. Both are computer animated.
Yes.
Like, that's the obvious one.
Yes.
Both are embraced by the gay community as featuring possible same gender relationships and chemistry. Because we didn't talk about that with Raya. But yeah, there's some chemistry going. And I could feel it a little bit.
Between her and Amari.
They're the ages where it's a little more, but still it is weird that we're talking about it. But still. No, there's a little something there. There's like a, it's not frenemies. It's a rivalry, but like.
Yeah, there's some but charged, chemistry there, you know? Yeah.
And then by the end of it, they are, I think it's safe to say, they're friends now, like, again.
Yeah,
like, definitely on the path.
They'll definitely be friends, again. They're going to work through their issues now.
So, but and I mean, I'd ship it, like, you know.
Me
like,
too. I was going to say I did get some of those vibes as well.
Yeah. And again, like, but still, and
open
again,
for
never,
interpretation.
Yeah, still not blatantly like said
and
or anything.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so you got that too, but again, could just be, just really interesting, really interesting friendship.
It's a special friend.
So, yeah. Yep, so both are, and then both feature a betrayal. We kind of mentioned that. Both feature characters who lose their fathers. One is more temporary than the other. And both feature issues that we as a society need to address in order to be long-term.
Yes.
Positive same-sex relationships and trust.
Yes.
We need to see more of these things represented in our films.
Yeah, and you could even go down the road of, like, you know, illegal immigrants with Luca because the sea monsters are, you know, coming onto, you know, you could,
you could kind of dive into that as well. Dive in. No, that's good. I like that. I didn't even think of that reading, but it's like,
you know, we don't, do we accept,
like, we don't have no room for no sea monster. Like,
so kind of a fun,
solid. Fantastic. Look at those connections. Look at these movies.
So good.
I now comes the time for some recommendations.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm going to quickly recommend a little podcast. Everything 90s podcast.
Ooh, love that.
Obviously, for a certain age group, like if any of you had experiences in the 90s, like this is a great podcast to listen to. And it's got an awesome host. She has guests on all the time, and they kind of do like we do. They just freewheel and talk about some of their favorite stuff. They had a great episode talking about Smart Guy that I really liked.
That's what really won me over.
I was like, oh my god, they're talking about Smart Guy. Oh, this is a cool show.
It's great. That's awesome. What's so, it called?
Everything 90s Podcast.
Love that. I'm going to recommend a book called Feminism is for Everybody.
Woohoo.
Passionate Politics by Bell Hooks.
Bell Hooks.
And
got it.
Yeah, it's really
something you're reading for class.
I am. Yeah, right. I'm in a women's studies class, and we're currently reading this book, and it really explains things black and white. She's so clear. She tries not to be opinionated at all in her writing, but still keeps it. It's interesting to read, and also like shows how feminism really affects everybody and not just women.
Yes.
Really, really good, clear, concise, easy to read book. If you're curious about, you know, what feminism is and, you know, you maybe
your label of feminism, because there's so many different ones, right?
That's totally
first wave, second wave, third wave.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, some people are like, feminists hate men.
Yeah.
Some people are like, you know, feminists burn their bras. all of which,
just every day, just burn another one.
Just burn those bras.
No.
They don't shave their armpits, they don't shave their legs. No, none of, I mean, all of that is what it is. But I like this because it really gives a clear and concise definition and explains why that definition works over all of those other things.
Oh, perfect. So yeah, it really is a, it really is a college book.
It is, yeah.
But good.
Really, really good.
Fantastic. Well, you know what, folks? If you have a recommendation of your own, or, you know, whether it be a movie, a podcast, or anything like that, you can always send us an email.
Yeah.
Which is at movieconnectionpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can follow us on Instagram.
The Movie Connection.
All one word. Or you can follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
We do have a Facebook page, so you can get on there, follow that to keep up to date.
Yeah.
I frequent the Letterboxd, which is a site where you can post movie reviews. So be sure to check me out on that.
Mm-hmm.
I frequently post because I watch a lot of movies, and right now I'm on a monster movie kick, so
love it.
It's been a lot of fun.
Sorry, my cat's playing with a toy.
And so Letterboxd, that, oh, and be sure to give us a review and a 5-star, you know, rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe to this podcast. And tell your friends. We're trying to build this community. We are a proud member of the NY City Podcasting Network, so be sure to check them out as well.
Absolutely.
And now comes the time. Well, folks, we have arrived. We have arrived at the end of the first season. Don't worry, we're still coming back.
Don't worry.
There's going to be more seasons. This episode would be great for you to end on, because next week I'm not sure if you're going to like the movies that we have. So
that's right.
We have been holding on to this since the big, well, about mid-season, I would say. We were like, okay, so looks like our last episode is going to be on Halloween. Should we do a scary movie, or it's like maybe movies that are scary to us?
Right. And that's what we decided on.
In terms of like quality, where we're like, how do people love these movies and yet I despise them, or at least are confounded by them, would you say?
Yeah. Yes.
There's just those movies that you're just like, I don't get why people like it or how it got made.
And I think that, like, we both maybe feel that way about the movies we're going to assign each other.
Yes.
So that's important to say.
Yes. And so, Casey, what are you assigning me to end with?
Rubber. Rubber is about a tire named Robert.
Like, literally a rubber tire.
And I'm not going to tell you anymore because Jacob's synopsis is probably going to cover it.
Yeah, buddy. I have been avoiding this because it looked weird, but there are diehard fans of this.
Yeah. Yeah, there are. We're
going to
have a couple diehard Rubber fans on for the last episode.
Boy, oh boy.
So.
And then, so this was, and the movie I'm assigning Casey, this is, yeah, definitely of the category. It confounded me. Like, I watched it with somebody who was loving it the whole time, so I felt the need to, and I was living with him at the time, so I was like, yeah, cool, this is so fun. But at the end of it, I walked away, I was just like, what the hell was that? Like, what is this? And why is Daniel Radcliffe, this pretty decent actor, doing here? I kind of appreciated it because it was very much not Harry Potter. So I can appreciate that.
I think he was really trying to show people that.
Yeah. And then you have Paul Dano, who I can take or leave. He's just one of the... I think he's a good actor, but he's just always such a creep, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know. Mm-hmm. Gives you an unsettling feeling. So it's hard. So yeah, the movie is Swiss Army Man.
Swiss Army Man.
So we will be trying to make connections between the movies Swiss Army Man and Rubber.
Wish us good luck.
Some of you are probably freaking out. You're like, yes, finally, my episode.
And for those of you, you're welcome.
Yeah. So for those of you who are going to sit this one out, like, I don't blame you. Like, because these are kind of not your conventional movies, too. Like, kind of a niche group.
Yeah, these are weird movies.
Weird movies.
However, listening to us talk about them might be really fun.
Yeah. But so, if you miss out on that, I just want to warn you guys. So we... are concluding this season. We will be back to do a round of four awesome Christmas movies, or four episodes about Christmas movies. So if you're not into Christmas movies, maybe skip that. But then we are back the first week in January.
Yeah.
Back to our old shenanigans.
That's right. We're real excited. We got a lot of movies to get through.
Heck yeah. So tune in for that. And if not, we will see you next week for Rubber and Swiss Army Man.
That's right. Bye.
All right, take care, everybody. Bye.